This podcast was recorded Friday, September 11th at 9:35 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like maybe presidents will stop talking to Bob Woodward. As journalists and historians, we love it, but the presidents never really works out for them very well.
No, it does not go well for them.
Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd politicians, a.k.a. Snollygosters, who become your best friends between Labor Day and Election Day. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, the word is getting out and Ohioans are ready to vote by mail.
But first, Labor Day used to mark the start of the real campaigning for president. In this modern age where candidates never stop running for president, Labor Day marks the final stretch.
Yeah, this year is kind of an old school campaign. Because of the pandemic, President Trump and Joe Biden have not been out holding daily big rallies this summer. But that changed this week. President Trump was in North Carolina last weekend. He held a big rally in Michigan on Thursday. Joe Biden made campaign stops in Pennsylvania and Michigan this week. Both men observed the 9/11 attacks at the memorial in Pennsylvania this week. Also, Joe Biden went to New York.
But no top-of-the-ticket appearances here in Ohio. Donald Trump Jr. was in Cincinnati. Mike Pence will be in Zanesville next week. But neither Biden or Trump making swings through Ohio, at least not just yet. TV advertising in Ohio also down from past cycles. The group Media Buying reports President Trump has pulled planned TV ads in Ohio planned for this week. Joe Biden is also buying TV ads in select parts of Ohio, not statewide.
Yeah, it comes down to will Ohio matter this year? And it's definitely much more low-key. It's still fairly early. We have, 6 or 8 weeks to go before the election. But we're used to weekly visits by the candidates.
Inundated TV ads.
In a run-up to election and nonstop TV ads, and we are not seeing it this cycle. The attention is that if you look at the map, it goes from Pennsylvania, around Ohio, up to Michigan, to Wisconsin, to Minnesota. Even Iowa. President Trump's making a visit to Iowa next week.
We're a slightly red state at this point, at least certainly that's the way we've gone in the most recent presidential election and mostly in statewide elections. Recently, we do have a few democratically held state positions, Supreme Court seats, but none of the biggest seats statewide are held by Democrats at this point. I did see a minute-long Joe Biden ad during the NFL game on Thursday night.
That was a national ad that went to everyone in the country.
Yeah, that was an actual Joe Biden paid, I approve this message kind of ad, which I haven't seen really. I think they've been out there, but I haven't seen them personally on television. It is a toned-down campaign. It was for many reasons, right? I mean, people didn't want to be inundated with TV ads when tens of thousands of people are dying every month from COVID-19. When racial justice protests are inundating cities around the country, it would have just been tone deaf for them to flood the airwaves with ads. No, I mean, it wouldn't have worked out well, I don't think, right? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I remember during the primary when COVID first hit, I remember, Joyce Beatty changed her strategy when she was running in her primary, and she changed her ads to public service announcements, wear a mask, stay separate, things like that. So you're probably right that the campaigns just sort of held off on TV ads until Labor Day. Now they really have to put the hammer down. But now the polls are close. Real Clear Politics, the average polls, and their average of polls has Biden with a 2.5-point lead. There have not been as many polls of Ohioans this cycle. Again, another indication that Ohio is not as important. 538 has it a little different. 538, the website, has Trump up by about a point. Basically, we're tied here in Ohio. It is up for grabs. According to the polls, the public polls that we're seeing, keep in mind Trump won Ohio by 8 points 4 years ago. So it's good news for Biden. In conventional wisdom, would think that he would put more money into the state. But he's not. He's putting it into Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan. So maybe they have internal polling that's saying this race is over here. Maybe it's too expensive to run ads in Ohio.
I don't know if it's any more expensive. We do have three very large cities, so it very well might be more expensive than it is in Wisconsin, than it is maybe even in Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Wisconsin, you have Milwaukee and Madison, maybe Green Bay. Minnesota. You've got Minneapolis and Duluth. Nothing wrong with Duluth, but I don't think it's an expensive TV market.
People aren't racing to get the Duluth vote.
It's, you know, that's Northern Michigan. That's definitely Trump country. But, you know, there's universities up there. Michigan, you have Detroit, which is a large market, and Lansing, but no other really big cities. I mean, Ohio is unique. You've got Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, three, you know, good-sized markets.
Very large metro
areas. And then Toledo and Dayton. Akron and Dayton and Youngstown. That's where Biden is running his ads. He's running his ads in Toledo because he gets the Michigan. That crosses into Michigan up there. Mm-hmm. In Youngstown, it crosses into Pennsylvania. So it's efficient to run ads up there. What's the view from Richwood?
Richwood is, for people who might not know, it's a small town in northern Union County where I live, where I was born and raised. Definitely more Trump signs than Biden signs. Definitely not as many masks at the local Dollar General that mm-hmm. than you would see at a Kroger or a Trader Joe's here in the Columbus area. I think there's... Again, I'm speaking with very broad strokes here. I think there's a lot of they're more content with President Trump's performance on the job. Mm-hmm. They, I had a conversation at the library just last night with a guy I went to high school with outside the library. He was fine with President Trump downplaying the pandemic in the beginning. He thought that that was needed to ease a country that was fraught at the time. I mean, you and I remember what it was like in February and March. President Trump has received a lot of criticism for things he said to Bob Woodward, right, about how the pandemic is terrible. This is going to be the worst part of my presidency. A lot of Americans are going to die. And then he's on TV saying this is not that big a deal. I'm not going to wear a mask, et cetera. I think people from Richwood, rural areas in general, are more okay with that. And maybe they just twist themselves to be okay with whatever President Trump says.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of it as well. But definitely more Trump signs. I have seen some Biden signs, not many, but a lot of Trump signs, and his base is very excited, but that's not who's going to win him election. It's going to be the suburban moderate voters.
Yeah, I live in Dublin, which is a suburb of Columbus, you know, relatively affluent suburb, traditionally establishment Republican territory. Running around my neighborhood yesterday, I counted 12 Biden signs to 3 Trump signs.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say my neighborhood is tremendously politically active. There's always a few folks that have signs, but I was kind of surprised that ratio. And I think that's where the race is going to come down. Now, yard signs do not vote. We know that.
Twitter is not reality.
Right? And frankly, a lot of people who support Donald Trump don't advertise they support Donald Trump. They don't like him personally. They think he's, you know, perhaps a bully. They don't like his use of Twitter, but they like his positions on taxes. They like his positions on government regulations. They like his position on abortion and appointing conservative justices to the courts. So they're going to vote for him, but may not want to advertise they're voting for him. So keep that in mind as well. Where I think Biden is, you know, more palatable to most Americans, and people are perhaps less reluctant to put his sign out, even, you know.
There's some negative feelings about Biden.
Not as much as Trump, though.
Well, no. There's not as many negative feelings about, at least publicly, Joe Biden doesn't have the body of work that Donald Trump has as a TV personality, right? I mean, everyone has an opinion on Donald Trump. Not everyone has an opinion on Joe Biden. But there is a decent size segment of Republicans who very vocally do not like Joe Biden.
Yeah. They don't like his liberal policies, and they think he's going to lead to higher taxes.
He's not the
more
socialist
regulation.
They try to portray him as, but he's, he doesn't have the unlikability rating of Hillary Clinton, who was much more unlikable among conservatives. But Joe Biden's still not a darling.
He's a standard Democratic candidate for president.
He is.
He's like, you know, he's no different than Bill Clinton. Barack Obama is a little different because he was a generational change. But Jimmy Carter, Walter Mondale, Joe Biden, there's not a whole lot of difference between them. They're pretty standard politicians. Been in public life a long time, have liberal policies to varying degrees. I mean, Bernie Sanders would not have been a traditional Democratic candidate, but Joe Biden's a traditional Democratic candidate for president. Donald Trump certainly is not. And I'm kind of surprised. Dublin voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, so this suburb of Columbus. So it's not surprising if it were to go for Biden again. But something to watch. Yard signs don't vote, but they show support. They show organization.
Yeah, I mean, August fundraising numbers, Joe Biden blowing Trump out of the water.
Yeah, that could be one, because Trump pulled his ads in Ohio, but he also pulled his ads in a lot of other states. He could be hurting for money. Who knows?
Ironic.
He says he will self-fund the campaign, but he said that last time, and he never did. Remember the Democrats will never have enough money to run for president. They always say that. And the money always comes in. It always comes in. If the candidate has a chance, it definitely comes in.
They have a huge
boost. Money is always there.
Well, if you're watching TV, you might not know this, right, because the only ads we're really seeing are for the race for president, but also legislative races coming up on the ballot. And this comes in the wake of the Larry Householder scandal, where Householder recently indicted for allegedly leading a $60 million bribery scheme to help pass Ohio's nuclear bailout law. Prosecutors say that bribery scheme was funded by energy companies and their interests behind trying to get this law passed, trying to get this big bailout. The elections here, Ohio has a very gerrymandered legislative map. It's very Republican friendly. Do you think that map holds true and that the State House does not see any kind of a blue trickle, even certainly not a blue wave, but a blue trickle, a blue puddle?
You know, it's so hard to predict because you're right. The districts are so gerrymandered and they favor the Republican incumbents in many of these districts right out of the gate. But you're going to see these ads on TV. You're going to see ads claiming a culture of corruption, and they're going to be effective. So I think in tight races, the Republican candidates certainly are in trouble. I mean, any district where the Democrat has a chance, they have a really good chance because of the Householder scandal. I'm curious to see if the Democrats have enough money to just talk about this, quote, culture of corruption among Republicans, and if that suppresses the vote a bit on the GOP side. I wonder if the GOP side, whenever there's a scandal, their supporters of that party tend to just stay home. And that could help Democrats. It could help Joe Biden. If Joe Biden wins big and wins in a landslide in Ohio and other states, that's definitely going to help down ballot races as well.
You know, going back to the view from Richwood, I don't know how many people are talking about this. Larry Householder. It's a big deal for people in the media, right? It's a big deal for the Capitol Square crowd. I don't think it's a big deal for factory workers from Marysville or for steel mill workers from Cleveland.
That's where the ads come in. I think if the ads, if they start seeing a lot of ads, you're not going to, I mean, the rural vote's going to stick with Trump no matter what, I think, and the Republicans. I mean, it's on the edges. It's in the urban areas and it's in the suburbs where it could have an impact.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Is there something you've always wondered about Columbus? Like,
how did Circleville get its name?
Does Columbus have an accent?
How much has the NRA donated to Ohio lawmakers?
What happened to passenger rail in Columbus?
Curious Seabus is WOSU series that investigates questions submitted by you, our listeners. What have you always wondered about Columbus? Submit a question you're curious about today at WOSU.org/curious.
Welcome back to Snollygoster. We remember the mess that was the Ohio primary back in March. Think back, the governor, with the help of the state's health director, canceled the election for all intents and purposes, at least primary day in-person voting, because of fears of spreading COVID-19.
After a few days of hand-wringing and political posturing, Ohio resumed the election, extended it a few more weeks, and only accepted ballots by mail. It was kind of a mess, honestly, made easier to take because Joe Biden and Donald Trump had already wrapped up their nominations for president.
Well, a lot of Ohioans don't want to deal with that again, it appears. Or maybe they just don't want to go to the polls or stand in line in this age of COVID. The state has already received more than 1 million requests for mail-in absentee ballots, and it's only the first week of September. Ohio did not reach the 1 million mail-in request mark until well into October 4 years ago. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose says all of those mail-in ballots could make election night a little different.
We've gotten very accustomed to sort of knowing who's going to be the next president before we go to bed on election night. That may not be the case this year. What I can tell you that in Ohio, we're going to report those results as quickly as we can. But more important than speed is always accuracy.
I think he's right there. More important than speed is accuracy. We want both here in the media, right? Mm-hmm. We want election returns that night. I understand why he's hedging his bets. With so many more ballots coming in by mail, ballots only have to be postmarked by Election Day. You would assume, again, we're assuming a lot here, but it would seem that more ballots would come in and be processed late in the day on Election Day or even the day or two after. And in tight races, that could be what tips the race.
I will be interesting to see how they handle the mail. Now, this is different. They've never dealt with this before. They have this many mail-in ballots. But here's how it usually works. On election night, the polls close at 7:30. And soon after the polls close, we get, and anyone who's watching the Secretary of State's website sees a dumping of election results. You'll see thousands and thousands of votes all of a sudden appear at, say, 8 o'clock, 8:30, usually. And what those are, they are the mail-in ballots that people have sent in over the previous 30 days and the in-person early votes. So all of the early votes are dumped out and made publicly available to the media and anyone watching the Secretary of State's website on election night, early in election night. And we always say this is just early votes. Early votes tend to favor one party over another. This is not the end, but it does give us a little bit of a barometer about what's going on election night. That's because Ohio can count ballots, mail-in ballots and early votes as soon as they come in. They don't publish them anywhere. They don't want to affect election day
voting.
They
don't lock them in a chest and wait for later. They count them immediately.
They count them, but then they lock the results in a chest. Nobody knows the results. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how many people voted early for Biden in this case or how many people voted early for Trump. Other states, they're not allowed to even look at those ballots until the polls close, Michigan being one. They're trying to change the law up there to start counting the ballots right away but hold the results, but that's unlikely. So we're not going to – we very well may not know who the president is on election night, if not maybe even election week. Some people are saying this will be election month because so many people are voting by mail. And what that does is some Democrats fear that the conventional wisdom is that Donald Trump will win election day voting.
Because Republicans presumably not as scared to vote in person.
Traditionally, and in this one, I think that they're less –
Less
worried about COVID. So he'll claim victory. Say, I won, and then cast doubt on any of these mail-in ballots that are released in the days and weeks after. That's a reasonable fear based on what the president has said publicly up to date, and it could set up for a real,
It seems likely, honestly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it seems likely to me that, especially in Michigan, where they can't count the ballots until the polls close, it's going to take a long time to count those ballots.
Yeah, if half of Michigan's votes can't be counted until, the mail-in votes can't mm-hmm. be counted. And they're not polling machines. They're going to take time to go through scanners and they have to check to make sure that they're filled out properly, that the signatures match. Think of all the process that goes into that. In Ohio, we'll be doing that all during October. As soon as October 5th or 6th or whatever the early voting starts, we'll be doing that all during October. Mm-hmm. And the Secretary of State and the local boards of election actually will be telling folks, hey, look, your signature doesn't match here. There's a problem with your ballot. And they'll try to call people and say, let's fix this. That's not going to happen in Michigan and some other states.
I don't think there's any doubt that President Trump would seek to delegitimize his opposition. He has a track record of that. And it's coming.
It's going to be – it's
– I don't know if election month, that seems a little defeatist. Election week seems – likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say likely. Election month. If it's a tight race, it'll be election month, like Bush v. Gore.
Oh, it sounds exhausting. I wasn't even in the media at that time, but I just remember the constant coverage.
That was just a surreal night and then a surreal month.
I remember watching at home. I was in college at the time. I remember watching at home and please don't let that happen. Please, Ohio. Please, Michigan.
I think Michigan, a few other states. I forget which ones. Michigan definitely don't. They do not even look at the ballots until the polls close.
Speaking of Michigan failing, Ohio State football.
They're not going to. Michigan is not going to beat Ohio State this year.
Anyway, time now for our weekly segment. With the Snollygoster of the week, which is where we give our award quote. I'm doing air quotes right now. Our award to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. With all that's going on, it's hard to break into the news cycle. But Ohio's Attorney General did so this week. And he went with the old standby to get attention here in Ohio, as I mentioned, Ohio State football.
Yes, Attorney General Dave Yost this week urged Ohio State to sue the Big Ten, take them to court, even sue other Big Ten universities, take them to court if the season is canceled. He says OSU can sue for breach of contract and possibly recover the tens of millions of dollars it stands to lose.
So where does OSU stand on this? We don't know. Yost says that he has not talked to anyone from OSU. OSU officials will not comment. We should say WOSU is owned and operated by Ohio State University, of course. But OSU not talking.
Big surprise. But, you know, so the state's top attorney, top law enforcement officer, is directing a team of lawyers in his office to prepare a lawsuit for his client, Ohio State University, a lawsuit that Ohio State University may not even want. But he got headlines, and for that reason, Attorney General Dave Yost gets our Snollygoster of the Week
Does
award.
Dave Yost know that the vote was 11-3 among university leaders to cancel the Big Ten fall sports season? It wasn't Ohio State. The overwhelming majority of universities wanted to cancel fall sports.
Yeah.
It's shrewd. It's churning up political support.
Yeah, I have to admit, I enjoyed watching the NFL opening night.
I did, too. It was nice to have. It was a very politically laden broadcast.
Yes, but I mean, I just liked watching live football on TV.
I'm with you.
I just hope that people say that college kids should be doing exactly what the NFL is doing. That's no.
Yeah.
These NFL players are making a lot of money to be in bubbles and to go through all this stuff, and college students are not making that much money.
I think that's the root of what a lot of people don't seem to understand about this fight with the Big Ten. It's about liability, and it's about amateurism. The Big Ten and Ohio State can preserve this idea of football players being amateurs if they treat them like other students, which is what they're seeking to do here. I mean, everyone knows that the Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State, and then the average journalism undergrad, their lives are infinitely different. They could not be more different. But OSU trying to act like they're the same, basically.
Yeah. But Dave Yost, he wants them to play, as do a lot of Buckeye fans, as do we. But let's let them play healthy and safe.
For that, Attorney General Dave Yost, you are our Snollygoster of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, please send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. As always, tell your friends about us. Leave us a good review on iTunes, whatever you can, to increase the word about Snollygoster. For our audio producer, Eric French, our student producer, Jack Long, and our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.